never give up. I never give up. I never give up. Turn around.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Neff Inspiration, my show on YouTube and as a podcast with me, your host, Stefan Neff. Today's a fantastic day because I've actually been hunting my guest for a little bit to get him onto my show. The reason is that Michael Rubino has got a very niche market. He is a man who's very much into environmental health. He is a mold expert. He's a man who is actually going into houses and comes more often than not up with quite amazing surprises that the homeowners didn't know. So, and it's amazing how much these environmental factors are all playing a role. When we talk about epigenetics, about the way we express our genes and which genes are switched on and off by the kind of factors that are all around us. Hey, shit, chronic inflammation and chronic disease, often autoimmune diseases, can be switched on with all kind of factors, and environmental health is high up there. We just don't realize it most of the time. So, Michael Rubino, welcome to my show. I can't wait to dive deep into this.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that amazing introduction.
It is so weird, isn't it? Because here we are, we're living in our environments, and we take them for granted. And it's something like, often enough, you don't see what you don't want to see. Or even if you get an inkling of, oh, there's a bit of black there, or a bit of this there, a bit of funny smell in the house. It's okay. It's nothing is fine. When in reality, we're going to get to that. Michael, how the hell did you get into that field? I mean, you don't just wake one day up as a teenager and say, hey, you know what? I want to know more about mold. That's cool. Well, Mom, what did you put on my breakfast?
You know, it's important to note that I have lived 2/3 of my life completely oblivious to the fact that air quality is so important to human health and that we can get sick inside of our own homes. And just like many people listening, you know, who might not have any clue and hopefully have a better clue by the time they finish this episode. I got into this because my dad's been a contractor since I'm 5 years old. But that's really only part of the story, right? After college, I moved back home. I started working with my dad, very interested in, you know, more in marketing and the business side of things. And in order to kind of learn the business at that age, in my mid-20s, you know, I got to go door to door. I got to go into these homes and really see what people are dealing with. And the first home I ever go to, it's a woman probably in her 60s. And I was a little devastated to see her suffering through all these different ailments that she was absolutely positive was a direct result of her home. And it was the first time I've ever really heard of such a thing, right? So, okay, well, she showed me lab results and basically explained what she wanted me to do. I was outside of my element at this point. This is my first project. I start immediately calling laboratories and scientists and inspectors and anyone I can would answer the phone to explain to me what is a mycotoxin and why is it in this lady's home. And it was through a lot of trial and error, essentially, that I figured out, you know, exactly how to identify what's going on inside these homes and what we're dealing with. And it wasn't until about the fifth or sixth home, different families, different health struggles, but the one thing in common was there was high levels of mold and bacteria inside these people's homes. This is right after Hurricane Sandy, a couple of years after Hurricane Sandy happened in the Northeast. Let's fast forward to now, after helping thousands of people, the story never changed. You know, people are getting sick in their homes. Different ailments, different families. Sometimes it's the kids, sometimes it's the parents, sometimes it's the elderly. But the same thing that I keep going back to is we have high levels of mold and bacteria in these homes. And I feel like it was something that I stumbled upon and just my ambitious nature of trying to figure a problem solving out and come up with a solution. Coupled that with the realization of how broad this really is. I mean, this is a global issue. I consult with people globally. I couldn't imagine doing anything else at this point.
Is it? It's it's a passion that takes over, isn't it? Because you see, it's suddenly as if someone gives you that magic pill and suddenly you see the truth and then you can't unsee it. Then you walk around and you look around and you think, oh God, yeah, there and there and there and there. My goodness. But often enough, I mean, it's weird. What you've just described could have been very much my first investment property. We bought this really run-down house, and it was literally, it stank in there. It was rot. It was black mold. It was so blatantly obvious. I mean, that's, But often enough, these things are not so obvious, are they? If it is this black and white, I mean, for crying out loud, we ripped everything out, including the jib inside, and basically started again. It was not the cheapest of renovations I've ever done, that's for sure. Learned my lessons, but we have changed this house completely, and it is now safe, and there is another low-income family living in there, and I know damn well sure, as a doctor, they are healthy, they are safe.
That is awesome. So exactly. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, this is such a powerful thing. But, I mean, that was the classic example. But often enough, mold or bacteria or other agents are not so easily visible. What are sort of some of the hidden spots that can be easily forgotten or not even thought of?
So the reason why it's often hidden is we have to understand microbiological contaminants like mold, bacteria, viruses. These are very, very small. You know, mold, for example, is 25 to 50 times smaller than what the eye can see. And so when you say to me, well, Michael, I don't understand. I've seen mold on my wall, the black stuff, right? Yeah, there's already hundreds of thousands or millions of it there, right? It's a very tiny microorganism. And so, you know, to put that in perspective, I've walked into clients' homes, many clients' homes, and when you walk in, the house belongs in a magazine, right? You would never guess there's an issue in this house. But the person's like, I am sure of it. I am sure something's wrong with this house, right? And as you start peeling back the layers of the onions, you're finding the HVAC systems are a mess and they're moldy and they're full of bacteria. And, you know, the HVAC company that's been servicing it over the years just never mentioned anything, never realized something was wrong. You have, you know, improper shower waterproofing systems pretty much for any home built prior to 2015. And still to this day, we have issues where tiles just built on top of drywall or even cement board, but there's no waterproofing membrane. So as you shower, the grout gets wet. The grout is semi-porous. It absorbs the moisture that gets into the wall cavity and boom, behind your tile, you have mold, but you never know because you just see the tile. Then you have issues with the kitchen, the backsplash, notorious issue, leaks that happen under sinks all the time. I mean, look, how often do we open up our sink cabinet and actually look, you know? And over time, these drips and stuff, they seep into the cabinetry, they get into the wall and start to grow. Basements and crawl spaces, notorious issues, hidden issues, visible issues, but you know, we don't check it as often. We don't see it, or we just think that our basements are supposed to smell weird, even though the rest of the house doesn't, right? Attics are another one, roof leaks, you know, ventilation issues. I've had customers that, you know, they get a knock on their door. Hey, do you want to reduce your energy bill? We're going to re-insulate your attic. And they're like, sounds great. That sounds awesome. And they block all the vents. And now it just becomes like a mold factory up there. Right. And so, you know, there are so many different things to think about with a house. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, when we buy homes or we rent them, like no one gives us a guidebook of like, hey, here's all the shit you need to be worried about. Right. And what ends up happening? These things blow up in our faces. And then let's just add another layer to this. If I haven't added enough layers already, all of us growing up, all of us were told that mold is no big deal, that you just paint over it, you throw bleach on it, it's no problem. No. All of us. And that is incorrect information, by the way. And even the EPA and CDC have completely backtracked on all those statements. Now, the second thing that we've been that has been neglected, if you will, in our educational system here. Water damage isn't just about mold. it also can bring in bacteria. And even if the category of water didn't carry the bacteria there, we already have bacteria in our environment, and all it needs is a little bit of water to reproduce. Therefore, it becomes a bacterial issue too. And so now we're dealing with things like bilateral pneumonia and other hosts of issues that can happen with this toxic soup of mold and bacteria growth. I think if we take that into consideration, and we take this a little more seriously and educate ourselves, we're now in the driver's seat to control our health instead of having our home control it for us.
That's so beautiful. And you can go even one step further. When I was in 1980s, I was thinking I would specialize in gynecology. So I did my research and my dissertation I did with women who repeatedly lost their babies. And quite a good substantial subset of these women that we looked at, about 15% at that time in Germany, they had a child, everything is fine, mommy stays at home, dad goes to work, it's the 80s, we want to have nice houses, so man being really man, we get the wood ourselves, we're going to get a wood treatment, we do it in the garage, paint it all, completely saturated with, no borer will ever get into my house, and then we put it up. And then the man, Monday morning, goes to work. And, you know, most of the time is away, but mum is staying at home. And suddenly, miscarriages and abortions are happening. And you think, what the fuck? And it's all those beautiful chemicals that we use, PCP, Lindan, all those kind of things that are highly effective toxins in killing humans, for that matter, and killing all kind of other pests. Which brings us to the point, are we pests? But that's a very ethical issue now. So there is an example of chemicals that you otherwise would never even think about unless someone opens up the truth to you. So there is a whole soup of chemicals, bacteria, molds, as you name it, everything is there. Now, let's be clear. A mold is not a mold is not a mold. Okay, some molds I love. Like the one around the cheese. Yes, please. That's a mold. So there are obviously good molds and bad molds. So how can we distinguish the two?
Well, just like there's good bacteria and bad bacteria, right? So, you know, there are species of mold that are pretty much benign to the human being. I'll say there's one caveat. You know, if you ever heard the saying, too much of anything will kill you, you know, it's...
Touché, yeah.
If you have normal amounts of mold, that's fine. It's when you have abnormal amounts of mold. The tricky part of this is that too many houses have abnormal amounts of mold. That's the problem we're dealing with.
Absolutely clear. 100% agreed.
there are molds that you definitely want to pay more attention to, like Stachybotrytis chatarum. That's the media's coined toxic black mold. I guess it's because it's a toxigenic species, and I guess it's because it's typically black in color. But there's another toxigenic mold that's typically black in color that we don't like to see inside of homes, and that's cotomium. And what's interesting about the toxigenic species, particularly, they're going to have different classifications of how much water they require to grow. You know, for Stachybotrytis and cotomium, which are, the more toxic known species, they take 3 to 5 days to grow on average, right? Mm-hmm. So this isn't just, I had a little bit of humidity and, you know, all of a sudden I have this toxic black mold. No. This is like there has been leaks that have been occurring that you might not be aware of for some time.
Exactly.
Right. And there are some species of Aspergillus that can produce mycotoxins like ochratoxin A, some species of Penicillium that can produce toxins like mycophenolic acid or aflatoxin. There are a few species that are not known to be toxic, but confusingly can produce toxins of which are known, human.
Although aflatoxin, as an example, is causing liver cancer in certain doses taken in a certain way. So there we go. So it is. There are these species of growth that are out there. They all can be very insidious. So let's be clear about that. There is actually a very real risk to us if we live in such houses or in such environments for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah. My main, you know, the main answer to that question is I'm always more concerned about molds that have the ability to produce mycotoxins than the molds that aren't. But then I also still look at the quantification of it. You know, what quantities are we talking about? Because, you know, if you have millions of mold, even if it doesn't produce mycotoxins, well, how is that affecting the person's quality of life? Is it affecting their sleep? Is it causing allergic reactions? Are they coughing and sneezing constantly? So, you know, you want it. Unfortunately, you gotta really look at the data set as a whole and kind of look at the home in holistically to decide what is fine and what should we be more concerned about.
Beautifully said. And I think that is the big thing that we learn nowadays. When I think about toxicology, what I've learned in the past as a young doctor, I was, okay, there's a certain amount of toxin and that will kill you. And sort of we know about lethal dose, LD50. So, okay, if I take that amount of a toxin, 50% of people will die. Well, nice figures. Having said that, what we did not appreciate in the past and what's only come up now is the myriad of toxins, the myriad of chemical influences that are bathing our systems through the crap that we eat, through the things that we breathe, the environment, the way we're going to wash ourselves, the crap that some women put on their face, as in highly toxic substances in their makeup, etc. So, and these are all small bits, but if you add them up, just as much as compound interest will make your wealth grow, well, exactly the same compound interest will work with toxins, etc. So even if you are not, if there is not sort of black mold on your thing, on your walls, small amounts can still add to the whole bloody toxic soup. So therefore, it's so important that we actually address all of these things holistic. So that your discussion, the point that you just made is superb. Man,
I totally agree with you.
The problem, of course, is we are living in funky times. Money is paying is getting you less and less. Inflation at the moment around the world is going up, in some places more than others. These are not cheap interventions. I mean, if someone was to say, okay, I've got a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, you know, how much would someone actually have to consider forking out in order to get an analysis on how does an analysis actually look like? What do you do? Do you start with the end customer, sort of the patient? Do you check the people who are living there? Or do you check the walls? Or do you check everything in between, including the air sampling?
Yeah, so I usually tell people to start with the dust test, right? Because it's an at-home test kit. It uses PCR technology. We're looking at DNA analysis. The specificity is great. You can look at molds, the toxins mold can produce, toxins bacteria can produce, including just the presence of bacteria.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're starting with the home in this sense to understand what am I being exposed to? What am I breathing in? It's a much better screening tool than air samples, because air samples, you're collecting like 75 milliliters of air. If you live in a 2,000 square foot place and they take 2 air samples, it's 150 milliliters of air. You know, just put in perspective of a 2-liter bottle of Coke. Okay, that's not a proper screening tool, but nonetheless, you know, people have been doing things this way for 20 years. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a better way of doing things. You get the screening tool, you understand what you're exposed to. You could actually take that data and correlate it with medical data. Let me give you an example. I know I have high levels of ochratoxin A in my body. You know, my doctor said I should probably get checked for mold and see if I'm dealing with an active exposure. Good. Well, I know that Aspergillus produces ochratoxin A. So if I do this screening tool and I see high levels of Aspergillus inside my home, now I know, I'm getting exposed at home, right? Mm. I'm not getting exposed at home. Let's do a dust test at your workplace. You know, you start there because it's cheaper to see where the exposure might be. And then you can do a deeper dive from there if need be to figure out, okay, well, let's see where it's coming from. Let's check the HVAC system. Let's check some of the walls. Exactly. Let's look at the bathroom, the kitchen, right? And so you kind of take this step-by-step approach so you can really conserve funds and do it and invest this money towards better health in a smarter way. From that, from there, obviously it's, we need a work plan. We need, you know, if your HVAC's a problem, we need to fix your HVAC. If your windows are leaking, we got to fix your windows. I mean, the work plan is totally dependent upon, you know, the actual problems that are uniquely identified to your space. All I can tell you is the average person spends about $55,000 improving the home, and the air quality of the home. And, you know, unfortunately, $55,000 for a lot of people is a lot of money.
But then again, the prices of burials and cremations and the medical fees, you know, there's a bit of a trade-off there, you know.
The average person spends $400,000 dealing with chronic illness. So it's definitely
a beautiful statistic.
Cheaper way.
Okay.
It's definitely a cheaper way to improve your health. There's no doubt about that aspect. Yeah. But even still, I mean, you know, the reason why I bring this up is, it, first off, I have a company that comes in and fixes homes. That's all fine and dandy. But let's put that aside for a minute. I have a nonprofit foundation that is literally actively fighting to change laws. We have six bills proposed in six different states right now. We have a federal bill called the Healthy at Home Act of 2023. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because for people that can't afford $55,000, which is going to be a large percentage of this general population, they have really no access to clean breathing that should be a basic human right. And so we get to this situation where, you know, I quickly realized in my journey of this career that, you know, if I really want to help solve something and put my money where my mouth is here, I'm going to have to think way outside the box of just fixing every house one house at a time, because it's not a viable solution. And, you know, it's not lost on me that, you know, this needs to be more accessible.
Are there, I mean, I can answer the question myself. I was about to say, with regards to the laws in different states, with regards to the responsibilities of homeowners who are letting out their property, rentals, basically. The landlords here are certainly under pressure. In New Zealand, for example, we have got quite a bit of a pee problem, so methamphetamine, and we have got strong laws with regards to meth testing, etc. It's the responsibility of the landlord to get that shit sorted. So that's one example where we look at environmental health testing here. To the best of my knowledge, there is no mandatory mold testing or things like that, which, you know, especially in New Zealand, for those of you who don't know, Aotearoa is the traditional name for our country. Aotearoa translated means the land of the long white cloud. And that's a bit of a giveaway that we have got a lot of precipitation and we have got single glass windows. It's wet, it's humid, and there are molds around. I can assure you that. So here you go. But we don't have really yet any pressures there for us to be, as landlords, to prove that everything is safe. What about the United States? Is that changing?
It's certainly not changing fast enough. you know, I think what's changing is people are changing.
Nice.
Systems are not yet changing, but people are changing, and people have to change before system change anyhow. People are becoming more aware that when they buy a home, they should do a mold inspection and not just, you know, the standard home inspection. I mean, listen, it's great to know that the water heater is from 2013. Okay. But I also want to know what the air is like that I'll be breathing, that my kids and my wife will be breathing. And I think that people are becoming more aware of that aspect and they're starting to kind of, you know, do their own due diligence.
Nice.
But no, there is no law that requires somebody to, you know, do a mold screen and provide that with, you know, as part of the bill of sale of this is what it looks like. And it's not a bad idea to maybe make that a requirement. You know, we have some massive problems in the U.S. When it comes to this kind of stuff, because homeowners insurance, for example, is another big industry that is very problematic, to say the least. And I'll give you an example. Somewhere in the 90s and 2000s, okay, and there was a lot of mold issues, and you know, there were some big mold cases and multi-million dollar, you know, settlements and lawsuits and things of that nature. All of a sudden, the entire insurance industry decided to limit mold coverage. And before it was like you had $1 million. And it didn't matter what happened to your house. Could be flooded, could be a fire, could be this, that, or other thing. Your house would be rebuilt, okay? All of a sudden, they're like, here's $1 million, but also you have a $10,000 limit on mold. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this is just this new thing that develops. Why? Because the insurance company said, oh, we're getting hammered with all these litigations and liability issues with mold. We're gonna put a limit on that. And so all of a sudden, people are having issues filing claims like they normally would. And the insurance company is saying, well, here's your check for $10,000. I'm sorry that it costs $55,000. Here's $10,000. Good luck on the difference. Now, what do you think that does? Okay, so that's part one. I got a part two for you. Part two is, if you're an investor and you own a building of which you rent out, of which you do not live in, okay? You no longer have mold coverage. It's completely cut out of the policy. So if I'm a landlord and I'm an investor and my building leaks and it's a covered claim, and I say, hey, there's, you know, I've got 8 units, they all flooded, it's going to be like $500,000 worth of mold remediation. You know, they're going to tell you, right? Well, we'll take care of the water damage and we'll do some reconstruction, but we're not paying the $500,000 mold remediation. Now, I want people to be honest regardless, but I also am a human being. And I understand that when human beings, their backs are against the wall, they're going to make decisions. And sometimes they're not going to make the best decision, right? And so you just put an entire community of people that makes up a massive portion of the real estate that people occupy in this country into a financial position to not do the right thing and to kind of dumb down that, you know, it's not that big of a deal to people living inside, of which then get sick. Now let's add another layer to this. So we have these buildings. Now there's something called the U.S. stock market, right? And a lot of these massive investment companies are publicly traded companies that also have a public interest to make money, which means that their profit numbers have to be up, which means that they got to sweep as much of this crap under the rug that they possibly can so they can hit certain share numbers. We've literally created a system where we've prioritized money over people. And then we wonder why people are so sick.
Beautifully said. Okay. Bloody hell. Then again, though, it is a tricky one, because ultimately, whilst an insurance company might come into play when it comes to a water leakage, something that has happened to the house, that has then resulted in a mold. I can easily see that. But if you have got an air conditioning system in your house, you have got venting in your house, you have had that installed at a special price because you went somewhere on a home and garden show and they came in, yeah, brilliant. And here's our contract for the service. Oh, nah. I call you when it's time. Or they call and they say, no, I don't need the service because everything is fine. Whilst in reality, you've got all kind of shit there. So who's responsible there? So I think we need to be clear that we as humans can't just always blame others. Seems to be a little bit more common in your country. But ultimately, we all need to take ownership of our health, of our behaviors, of our responses. Whatever we do, you are part of that story. It's not just all the evil whatever industrial people who take advantage of you. Bullshit. So it's time for you to grow up. So I think that is actually a really good message that I love to hear. And whilst you're working on the more legislation side of things and you're trying to raise the awareness, it's still the latter that is, I think, far more important, raising the awareness and bringing it to people's attention that they can take steps to do the right thing. So bottom line is, start off with a dust test. How much would they be? How much will that set me back?
It's about $275 door to door.
That's fine. That's well worthwhile. I mean, if you do a limb test or any kind of other test prior to a house evaluation, and that sets you back many hundreds of dollars. So it's actually a smallish kind of thing. Yet it gives you a baseline from which to work. How comprehensive are they? Can you pick up 50%, 80%, 90% of the contaminants?
Well, I mean, it's comprehensive. It's very comprehensive in terms of the specificity that you can get. You know, can you pick up 80, 90% of the contaminants? Yeah, you know, it's not going to tell you every single amount of contaminant that's in your house definitively, because you'd have to collect every speck of dust in your house.
Exactly.
Right. So it's going to give you a really good average of how many spores per milligram of dust are you typically encountering. Yes. Okay. And then you obviously can multiply that by the number of milligrams of dust that you have in your home and get a real good sense of what you're actually breathing in. But you're not breathing in all that dust at once. It happens over time.
Sure.
So I think it's a really good screening tool to understand, like, what am I being exposed to? The best thing that I like about this is you can get an understanding of what's normal. You know, just like when you do lab work for the body, it gives you a range of what's normal, what's not, what's too low, what's too high, right? Yeah. Well, this will tell you, you were 10 times higher, you were 100 times higher, or even 1,000 times higher than where you should be across every single individual species.
Nice. Okay. No, that's brilliant. That's a good start. Then when it comes to you having identified things, obviously then becomes the detective work where you have to figure out, okay, what are the contributing factors to that? And you've already outlined this could be all kind of things within your house. So therefore, to then put a money factor or money value onto your remedial actions, well, it could be anything. But it's a great baseline. So I think that is something that should be actually part and parcel of a lot of testing. And now that we have actually spoken about it, I'm just thinking, in my bedroom, I've put lots of shelves in. I love books. So I'm surrounded by books. Do I ever dust them? No. So how much of bloody, what do I breathe in? So I think there's a little journey waiting there for me. So Home Cleanse will send me a little sample and I will put my money where my mouth is. We're going to do a reveal on this show. And I see, because I think, yes, okay, I look after myself. Look, I'm you know, it's all clean. Yeah, right. There might be some surprises there.
You know what? It's like, I tell people this all the time, like, you know, yeah, you're probably going to be surprised, right? The thing is, you're also going to be empowered, because maybe, just maybe, we find something wrong. And if we find something wrong, that means that you can do something about it.
Correct.
And knows how you might feel after. And that's the key.
Exactly. And you're taking action. You're no longer the victim. You're actually sorting things out, and there's a lot of power in taking action. So well done. I always tell my patients, come on, you need to be the master of your chronic illness, of your autoimmune disorder, of your whatever it is. I want you to understand more about yourself than your doctor does, because that's really where we need to start off with. But if we forget the environmental toxins, if we forget the environmental influences that good and bad that we can actually manipulate to our benefit, it's so powerful. And it could be as simple as you actually start a regular Hoover vacuum, get rid of the dust magnets in your immediate environment, and do some simple steps. Get the HRV, your home ventilation system, actually get that serviced. You know, this might be as simple as that. You haven't spent gazillions of money, but you have made a huge dent in your airway hyperreactivity. Means every morning you wake up coughing like, you know, and like a bloody smoker, yet you haven't actually smoked. Well, you know, it might be a bit of a giveaway there. So there's so many things where we can all actually raise our own awareness. And for that, I'm so grateful that, Michael, that you are up there. Now, you have written a book. You actually put your money where your mouth is. And ta-da, The Mold Medic. So, guys, if you want to know more about that, where can we get Mold Medic?
Well, you know, it's there's limited amount left in circulation as I ramp up for my next book, which is not only going to be an update to this material, but it's going to be telling the story. You know, there's a lot I've learned over the past almost 4 years now since I've written this book exactly. And then on top of that, you know, the amount of people I've helped and the things that I've seen, it requires a new, fresh look on things. That book is actually titled Never Been Sicker: How Air Quality Might Be the Missing Link for Better Health. And I go hard in explaining, you know, my philosophy on how the prevalence of mold and bacteria in water damaged buildings in North America seems to coincide with the global health decline that we continuously experience. Mm. And all these different autoimmune diseases and disorders that for some miraculous reason, they completely subside when they're out of their environment, change their environment. Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly.
all these crazy stories that I have of, you know, celebrities getting better and, you know, families getting better and sharing why I think we need to take this more seriously. Mm. And so if you can get your hands on The Mold Medic, an expert's guide on mold removal, you should do it, because it's a thing of the past very soon.
Right. Having said that, the new and updated version, when is that coming out?
Well, it's definitely coming out this year. I don't have the exact publication date at this point, but it is coming out this year, 2024. It's almost done, finishing touches. It's in editing, and it's going to be very exciting.
Oh, excellent. I can't wait to actually get my fingers onto that one, because that is such an important issue. And for me as a functional medicine specialist going into that field, you just want to pull more the layers back. Because just as much as trauma comes in layers, also literally physical trauma to the body, to the onslaught of things on us, that comes in layers as well. And the environmental health, your work is a significant part of that. So fantastic. Can't wait. Can't wait. Michael,
yes.
Where can people find you? If they gel with what you're saying, if they want to know more about you, tell us a bit.
Yeah. So if you go to themichaelrubino.com, you can find my personal website and you get up to date on the book that I just mentioned. Mm. And you want to read about all the news articles I've written or blogs I've been a part of, always giving out information as much as I can. There's a ton of things on there. You'll find my Instagram and social media stuff if you want to check that out on there as well. Mm. If you want to check your dust right now, go to thedusttest.com. I'm telling you, you will be hopefully either pleasantly surprised or empowered to make some decisions and take action. And then, of course, homecleanse.com. If you know you have a problem and you're like, I just need to get this taken care of right now, homecleanse.com is best for you. And we just launched a whole HVAC and ventilation division of our company, literally today. And so we are now helping people improve HVAC systems. We found just so many problems with them that, you know, we really, I I sought after one of the best mechanical and electrical professionals in the entire field, and somehow convinced him to join forces with me and let's solve this problem across this country and hopefully across the world one day. And so really excited about all of the things that we can really do from a building science perspective now to help people breathe cleaner air.
How cool is that? Thank you for the work you're doing. And guys, look down there into the description of the YouTube video and of the podcast, because all of Michael's information is down there. Guys, what have you got to lose? These could be some of the best investments you have ever made to do a simple dust test, to actually look for some of the toxins, and then work together with your GP, your family physician, maybe a functional medicine specialist, whoever works with, whoever helps with the medical side of things, and then work with someone who knows what he is doing, like maybe Michael Hopkins, who knows what they are doing to get rid of some of the toxic load that is hitting you every single day. So it's an exciting journey. And it's, I think they're like with all journeys, once you leave the Shire, once you start as Frodo Baggins and you go out there with the ring, hey, you're going to get surprises. And unfortunately, that will be the same in your house. You've never done a renovation where they have not surprises. Let's just have a look behind that wall. Oh, shit. It is what it is, guys. But you rather want to know before it actually cuts your health span and your lifespan down by a significant amount of time. Michael, you're an amazing man. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. That was a great show. That was a great insight. And you made me reflect a bit more on my own environment here. So time for me to put my money where my mouth is.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. What a great conversation. And thank you for describing just a Tuesday for me.
Hey, cool. And you guys out there, look after yourself.
Bye. I never give up. I never give up. I never give up. Turn around.